Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I got a big one for you guys today. So let's get right to it on this 4th of July, 5th of July. Happy 4th, happy 5th. Ben Franklin, the name comes to mind, a Renaissance man. Thomas Jefferson, another Renaissance man, the name comes to mind. Alexander Hamilton, no shortage of IQ points there. Patrick Henry, George Washington. What did they all have in common? The answer is none of them were on Prozac. The answer is they lived in a time when Renaissance men, particularly Franklin and Jefferson, knew how to draw an intelligence from above. A special kind of intelligence. The kind of intelligence that's shrinking on the internet. We invented Prozac to solve the depression. The creative block. Not just for the artist, but for the working man. The guy that got up in the morning and felt his dream would never come true. And so he became depressed. And more depressed and more depressed. Whoever you are, whatever your vice is, understand that underneath it is blocked creative force. We celebrate those men today. Think of who you are, where you are, where you've come from, how we've celebrated this country. And think of stuffing Prozac down the minds of the best Americans. In the name of trying to remedy that pain that comes from blocked creative energy, we would have had no nation. In the 1930s, Huxley, get to the website, zoestraighttalk.cc. Huxley, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Take a look at picture number 14. If you're new to the show, I am Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. That's not .com.cc. If you're listening on the road today, simply listen and then get home and do that. It's the early 30s, the late 20s. Huxley, Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Talks about a time in 1928 when we barely had the car and the telephone. 1928. When he talks about the drug Soma. Look at picture 17. Brave New World. Delicious Soma. Just pop it in and it all gets better. We're there. Huxley's prophetic work has come true. Statements abound, statistically speaking. Over the next 20, 30 years, 1 out of 4 to 1 out of 3 Americans will live on an antidepressant. That means something. As always, you know my game. I want to take that information, turn it upside down, and show you that your body's making its own Prozac. We've got some very interesting correlations today, but first, I want to strengthen the argument. I want you to understand what Prozac is all about. Its history, where it comes from, what it means. Let's take a look at picture number 7, serotonin. Picture number 7, serotonin is a neurotransmitter. It's a chemical secreted by the ends of your nerves. In other words, in between the gaps, in between the long nerve cell. What nerve cell? The nerve cells in your intestinal tract, the nerve cells in your brain. Look at picture number 3. There's a neuron, gazillions of them throughout the human body, multi-trillion gazillions, 10 to the 2,000th power. Picture number two. Yeah, you got to move with those pictures today so we get it all in. Picture number two. Look at that masterpiece of a picture inside the human brain. Those are neurons, individual neurons, and those ropes, those tentacles, are the axons. Axons transmitting the nerve pulses. So go back to picture number three. Look at those axons. And look at the axon terminal, picture three, upper left-hand corner. The red is the conducting fiber, the axon itself, coated in fat, fat you need, fat hopefully you're not deficient in, fat hopefully you have enough cholesterol to make, enough essential fatty acids, fat that hopefully isn't the hydrogenated trans fatty garbage fat. It's the good fat. At the end of that red are those axon terminals. Those transmitters, they're just bumping along these chemicals that are made. Lots of chemicals. Epinephrine, norepinephrine, acetylcholine. In this case, serotonin. That's the one we're going to focus on today, serotonin. But we could be talking about dopamine too. Serotonin, that's the happy one. It makes you happy. When you eat a nice big carb meal at night, when you've got those munchy feelings in the evening, when you're alone, when things aren't going well, when you're high anxiety and you just want to feel comfort, comfort food. Our gastrointestinal tract, we'll get into this later, secretes 90% of all the serotonin that's made each day. 90% of all the serotonin. It's the happy chemical. Just think of satiety after chocolate chip cookies and a fudge brownie. Think of that momentary feeling before your glucose spikes to 5,000 and you begin to feel sick or you throw up because you can't digest the fat. But in that first 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or if you do it intelligently and just take a little bit, think of that satiety that comes. That's serotonin. Something really interesting, blockbuster interesting. As interesting as stem cells, as interesting as the pineal gland, the ventricular system of the brain. All these interesting odysseys throughout the human body. I encourage you to get to the website if you haven't before and study them. It's where health really lives, not the nonsense. Serotonin is the satiety chemical. Your brain makes it. Okay, your brain makes it. Let's study the brain making it. Let's go to picture number one. Now, if you press Control plus, the picture will get bigger. If you take both fingers and you put it in the trackpad there, if you've got that kind of thing and you're not using a mouse, if you're using a PC, just spread your fingers and that picture will enlarge. Don't sit there lamenting the fact that you can't see the picture. It's just a couple of clicks. Control plus. Or put two fingers in the trackpad and spread them. There you go. There is the end of the axon. Serotonin is normally produced at the end of that, and it crosses over. Those little squares in between those two nerve structures, the axon and the dendrite. Those little squares, the black squares, that's serotonin. It's normally being secreted. And then something appears to eat it. So you make this nice chemical, and then something appears to eat it. Go to picture number four. There's picture number four. And it's showing you serotonin is produced. It's released at the end of the axon in the brain. In the gut, but we're talking about the brain now. Because serotonin's got something to do with depression. And depression's got something to do with Prozac. And Prozac's got something to do with a bunch of other things. So this serotonin is secreted at the end of the axon, those little black squares. And an enzyme in red in this picture, picture number four, monoamine oxidase, MAOs, MAOs. Monoamine oxidases are secreted to eat the serotonin. Now, how fast does MAO, does the monoamine oxidase enzyme, eat the serotonin? As fast as it needs to. You don't want to produce too much serotonin. You don't want to leave the serotonin there too long. You want to regulate it. Remember, the electrical rhythm is being regulated by the concentration and frequency and duration of the neurotransmitter, how much is produced and how long it's there. It's basic neurophysiology, but to the guts of it, minus all the baloney. You use the pumping magnetic field, regulated chemically and electrical. Chemically by what? Your neurotransmitters. They want to tell you you are your neurotransmitters. They want to tell you you're at the mercy of your neurotransmitter production. This is nonsense. The argument has been flipped upside down. Once you flip the argument, you become enslaved. That was Huxley's point. If you are nothing more than under the control, the subjugation, the slavery of your brain chemicals, and science, of course, supports this, then you are simply at the mercy of your chemistry. And, of course, the government and science have a solution. The mind-altering drugs. This is what Huxley was saying. This is what Prozac inadvertently was about. If you look at the guy that invented that is credited largely with discovering how the tricyclic amines work, Prozac being a very specific type of them. If you look at these guys, they didn't really intend that to happen. It really wasn't the intention of Julius Axelrod back in the 30s or whenever, PhD, Julius Axelrod from East Coast. It wasn't his intention to create the beast. It was inadvertent. They didn't wake up one morning and say, let's think of how to destroy the world. But you got to understand the way it works. Just because you're a credentialed scientist doesn't mean you're like a baby in a crib playing with a toy and blowing off the top of your head accidentally. So the birth of these things goes way back. Way back we learned that monoamine oxidase could eat up the neurotransmitter, serotonin. And we knew serotonin had something to do with depression or that satiety feeling that didn't make us feel depressed. It was the opposite of depressed. And we knew that people got really depressed. Manic depressives. I mean, bad depression. Metchnikoff was suicidally depressed after he lost his wife. People go through trauma and understandably get depressed. So we were studying this years ago, 100 years ago. And we realized that we could make a group of drugs called tricyclic antidepressants, tricyclic amines. And what they would do is block the reuptake of serotonin and many other chemicals. So let's talk about secretion and uptake. So look at this picture number 4. Look where those circular green things are. And where it says neurotransmitter transporter or reuptake site. What it means is after we secrete the serotonin, the divine plan dictates chemically, in a very sophisticated way, a certain amount of reuptake. It's kind of like you over-secrete and then reuptake. So those reuptake mechanisms are important. And that has a great deal to do with monoamine oxidase. Suppose you could block monoamine uptake. Suppose you could make a monoamine oxidase inhibitor. You could block the reuptake, which meant then that you would leave the neurotransmitter in the synapse a longer period of time. And if, in fact, you were the person that didn't secrete enough, or if we assume you didn't secrete enough, or if we just speculated on it and then did something about it and found that your mood would lift, if any of these things became true, well, then we could make a darn good case for a drug. Thus, the tricyclic antidepressants. And that was the mechanism in a nutshell. Lots more complicated.